You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. So on today's show, I have Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors. The show had him on last week. Tony and him did a little back and forth discussion about the Raptors and Pacers. So we did it again this week. You know, he's been a great guest, so we decided to do that. But before we get to today's show, I want to cover a couple of housekeeping things. So before we get to today's show, I just wanted to say thank you to all those listeners out there of the Locked On Pacers. You know, Tony and I have been doing this show for about 3 months now. And we've seen an awesome audience growth, interactions, whatever it is, we've seen all of it, and it's been awesome. We love it. And we really, you know, if you have any comments, concerns, whatever it is to make the show better, we just would love to hear back from you guys. You know, we love audience engagement. It's makes what makes this show so fun. It's why we like doing this. You know, we love to produce the best product for you guys out there. So feel free. If you want to email us, you can email us at lockedonpacers@gmail.com. You can DM us or mentions on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. You can do the same thing to me at FriedmanAdam5 or to Tony at TeasedNBA. We'd love to hear back from you guys to make this show even better than it already is, but we just wanted to say thank you for your support and just for listening to this podcast because it's been awesome and we've really enjoyed doing it. Now, today's show with Sean Woodley. All right, let's start with... So CJ Miles, you know, this is what Pacer fans are more worried about because he's a former Pacer, missed the first Pacer game because he had the birth of his daughter. Pacers won a close game, obviously, by three. What's kind of your thoughts on the impact CJ Miles could have? Because we saw some weird bench units. I know I was at the game. It was some weird bench units with the Raptors where they played guys I didn't think were even in the league anymore.
Like who? I mean, all their guys are like children at this point.
I'm looking at the roster. I'm blanking on the name, but I went to the game with Tony. We were watching the game together, and he started like yelling at a certain player out there, and I'm like, I didn't know the guy was in the league still. Let me look it up real quick.
Lorenzo Brown, I got into that game for like 2 minutes. He's kind of the weird dude who gets into games sometimes right now because DeLon Wright's out, so they need the third point guard. But the Raptors' weird bench units have been kind of a thing for them all season. They used to really stagger and have one of Kyle or DeMar on the court at all times, but not so much this season, and I'm not sure exactly why that is. I think it might be just sort of a way to limit Kyle's minutes. He's down to like a career low in minutes, at least for the last 5 or 6 years, at least with the Raptors. That's been kind of, that's bred a lot of strange units with the bench. And yeah, CJ Miles, he's kind of adopted the title of like bench dad. You know, he's playing out there with like Pascal Siakam and Norm Powell and Jakob Poeltl, like all these young dudes, and Fred VanVleet now that DeLon Wright's out. And it's been, you know, it's got mixed results. I mean, there are times where they kind of run all over teams and play really good defense and it works out well. And then Miles is out there kind of providing the spacing you need. And him and Powell, I think last night was the first time they've played together in the second unit because Powell was out. And obviously then Miles missed those two games over the weekend. And they looked really good together as a bench pairing, which I think we'll see tomorrow probably more often. And that Powell can kind of be the sort of catalyst a little bit, and then Miles can kind of provide the spacing to either, you know, give him a little extra room for his drives or to kind of just be there as a guy to catch kickout passes. So, Miles is big for the bench. Without him, they're kind of lacking a lot of shooting. Obviously that becomes troublesome, but I'm excited to get him back tomorrow. Working with Powell as sort of the go-to guys off the bench, and it should be good.
Yeah, I think the guy was Lorenzo Brown. I saw told him the names. I'm surprised that he even played.
I was too, to be honest. He scored. He had gone the longest any Raptor had ever gone in terms of minutes played without scoring a basket for the Raptors. He scored against the Hawks when they beat him by like 100 points on Saturday. But 2 minutes and no points was pretty much the standard of Lorenzo Brown line from that Pacers game and every other game he played up to that point.
So, like we were saying earlier, the Pacers played the Raptors like just a week ago. So, you know, you were on our podcast with Tony last time. So we can kind of recap that game. I know probably the highlight of that game, at least for Pacer fans, and probably the worst moment was the Lance Stephen fourth quarter, right? He just, you know, it's the Raptors was, it was like, let Lance shoot, right? If I'm in any team that made, it's let Lance shoot his threes, and Lance made like five of them, and that's why the Raptors lost, basically.
Yeah, that was that's the second time that's happened in the last year or so where Lance has gone off and beaten the Raptors. And it's weird because, like, I know Pacers fans love Lance Stephenson, but, like, he's kind of objectively bad at this point. And his three-point shot in particular, that's like, you want him taking four threes. You want him feeling himself. And I was totally fine with the Raptors letting him shoot. And then, yeah, he just kind of burned them. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen tonight because that's two games in a row now, too, where there's kind of been a bit of back and forth between Lance and DeMar DeRozan. PJ Tucker was involved in the skirmish last year, but Tucker's gone now, of course. But I'm curious to see if there's going to be any sort of fireworks on Friday night between Lance and DeMar because there seems to be a bit of tension growing there. But yeah, that was probably the most frustrating thing. I mean, the first quarter was also, the first quarter and the start of the third quarter as well were just kind of frustrating. And, you know, there's lots of issues the Raptors have had with bad starts from their starting unit, and Jonas Valanciunas got benched in that game, and I think for good reason because Miles Turner was giving him all kinds of trouble. And it's just not a matchup that he's really suited for at this point. And Collison and Oladipo were kind of running him into the ground in the pick and roll as well. So yeah, outside of Lance, I would say that's probably it. Like Jonas just not being effective whatsoever. I think he only ended up playing 12 minutes or so in this 14 minutes, and he was a minus 20 in those minutes. So I think it kind of speaks to how bad he was.
Yeah, well, since that game, the Lance has kind of turned it around. So I agree. At that point in that game, Lance is probably like one of the most inefficient, worst 3-point shooting players in the league. He was shooting 17% from three coming into the night. But since then, he's kind of turned around. He's put up 18, 16, 18, 11. So maybe Ryder's getting from the corner because if you were hitting on DeRozan and Lance have some beef. You know, it started last year when Lance had that dunk at the end of the game. It kind of should have done whatever, ran up the score a little bit. And then he charged DeRozan pretty hard in the game. And I don't know if, you know, in person it looked probably worse than people said it was on TV. He actually hit the ball, but it looked like he went right at DeRozan's knee.
Yeah, the came out in the last 2 minute report that he should have been called for two fouls on DeMar late in the game. And I don't know the second one, but the first one, yeah, it just was kind of like a straight up body check. So that kind of, the Raptors probably didn't deserve to win that game anyway. So I'm not gonna be like, oh, they got robbed because of the free throws or whatever. Like, no, they played like crap, so they probably deserve to lose. But that kind of changed the complexion of things late as the Raptors were mounting that comeback. So yeah, it's just I'm fascinated to see how it's gonna work tonight. I don't know why it is that Lance blow like lights up the Raptors every time they play. There are certain guys that inexplicably do this to Toronto. There's Gerald Henderson for some reason when he was in the league just would like be Kobe against the Raptors. They just have this curse of dudes who aren't particularly all that good, and then they come to Toronto or play the Raptors and just completely light them up. So I hope that it ends on Friday night with the Lance thing, but I'm not counting on that.
You think it's gonna be like a DeRozan, maybe not revenge game, but DeRozan played like crap
Yeah.
last time they played. So you think this DeRozan has a big night tonight? I mean, Lowry played decent, but DeRozan played like crap.
Yeah, Lowry was really good. That was probably his best game of the season to that point, which was kind of a shame that it got wasted in a loss. But I mean, and then last night against the Hornets, he topped that by going 35, 36, 5, and 6 with 8 of 11 from 3. So he's really rounding into form. DeRozan, yeah, he had just won Player of the Week before the week that the Pacers game took place. And then he was awful against the Knicks in the second half when they, gave that 41-10 quarter on the Wednesday. And then, yeah, against the Pacers, he was just kind of lost. He wasn't getting to the line, which is always like a big sort of source of his points. And he just didn't really seem like he was part of the offense. And same thing happened on Saturday. He hit just 2 points on Saturday. He had 8 assists, so that was a little better. But yeah, he's kind of figuring it out though. Against the Hornets last night, he like 37 and four or something like that. So he's kind of coming around. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure there was anyone who was like in particular. I don't think anyone's particularly like just shutting him down. Like Oladipo's a tough defender, but I'm not sure DeRozan's really all that bothered by a guy like Oladipo. He's been really good against most really good defenders over the past couple of years. Like he kind of torches guys like Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder and all these guys who were supposed to stop a guy like DeRozan. He kind of beats up anyway. So either credit to Oladipo for really shutting him down, or just credit it to just being a bad night for DeMar. But I don't expect he'll play that poorly again. He's been too good this season for him to have that many dud performances, I think.
Yeah, I kind of looks like it's just kind of a Thanksgiving week struggle because he's been so he's on my fantasy basketball team, so he's been pretty good this year for me. But that Thanksgiving week, so that like Wednesday he only put up 18, which is like one of the season lows for him, and then he had a really bad weekend on Thanksgiving. So I wonder if something happened over, you know, they're skipping that kind of third month, because then he had a great game. Recorded on a Thursday. Last thing I saw, he had 30 again. So he just just like it was a bad night for him. I'm sure his Pacer fans hope he doesn't have a good night, but I have a feeling he's going to have a pretty good night because he's going to be pissed because he walked off the court in that Pacer game without shaking any player's hand. So Peter said before Joseph, and Joseph hugged Lowry and hugged a couple other players. And DeRozan, the minute the buzzer rang, was in the locker room, it looked like.
Yeah, if you get angry tomorrow, that's probably not the best for your prospects because he'll kind of go at you. And, you know, sometimes he'll hijack the Raptors' offense in the interest of going at somebody he wants to go after. But, you know, he's pretty good at it too. So, I'm curious to see how that'll play out. I want to ask you about Miles Turner. He's been I think a little disappointing. I mean, obviously he's been hurt, so that's hard to sort of, you know, figure out exactly how much that's played in. But I feel like I was kind of expecting him to kind of take like a Kristaps kind of step this season, where he was going to be, you know, without Paul George there, he was going to be like the dude. And obviously he's just played 15 games so far, and it's hard to say. But, you know, is his progress where you would have expected coming into the season? Because it feels like, you know, it's hard to say because he just completely obliterated Jonas in that game. He didn't even put up crazy numbers. Just his presence out there is really tough for Jonas to deal with. But overall, like, I'm not sure he's putting in the season that I would have expected from him.
Yeah, the injury kind of set him back a little bit. Just, you know, Sabonis got more minutes with some of the starters. You know, you got to remember the entire roster was turned over basically in the offseason. They brought back Turner and Young were the only guys they brought back last year. So he had to adjust to that. And as a center, you rely a lot on the other players around you. But I like, you know, after the, you know, he's had a pretty nice week the past week. He had double-digit points in every game over the last three games, except for that Raptors game. But I like the matchup against Jonas because I think he can stretch the floor with Jonas out there, and he's just as good as a rim protector and can kind of just throw Jonas off his game because Jonas likes to play in the post, and Turner's not a terrible post defender. So I think overall it's been kind of a disappointing year so far, but I wouldn't say that it's been like terribly disappointing. I think he just hasn't made a huge leap. You know, I think he's gotten better, just not like, you know, the Kristaps leap. But the Kristaps is like maybe one of the top offensive players in the league now. People think, I don't think Turner's quite that, but he's, you know, he's probably 15 and 10 right now a game or close to it.
Yeah, I love Miles Turner, and I still have sort of memories from that playoff series when he was a rookie and just sort of being one of their better players in that series, and it's still terrifying to me. So maybe that's kind of coloring how I think he should be developing, but maybe, you know, he's a young player. He's only 21, takes time for these things, and he's already pretty good as it is. I'm not sure what's going to happen with the starting five for the Raptors, because obviously Dwayne Casey was pissed off after that first half against the Pacers last week and started Siakam in the second half. And that lineup didn't do very well either. That was a 31-20 quarter, I guess, for the Pacers, and the Raptors played pretty poorly. But, you know, I still think that the Siakam-Ibaka front court has been a lot better defensively than the Jonas-Ibaka front court has been. So I'm curious to see if we're going to get more of a sample of that. And maybe, you know, Casey, instead of just kind of seeing how it goes and starting Jonas again, will just kind of be proactive. He's not known to be super proactive with his lineup changes and things like that, especially in the regular season. But, you know, considering what happened in the second half of that game last week, I would be fascinated to see. Like, I still think Jonas will start, but I think we'll probably see a pretty short leash from him if Turner or anyone else starts to go off.
Yeah, actually, the fact that they even made the switch is the first time I can remember in a while for a Pacers team where the other team made the switch. Like, a lot of the Pacers teams for the past few years, they've just been kind of almost feel like stuck in their ways, which maybe now Raptors fans are feeling that because you've kind of brought back the same team for 3 or 4 years now. And so, you know, at one point, Valanciunas was like, oh, he's going to be kind of a really good player. And then he kind of got, you know, with the way the league changed, he's sort of fallen out again. So I just thought it was interesting the fact that they made that change so early, because it just seems like the Pacers are always when reacting to teams, especially the Raptors are probably a better team than the Pacers overall. You know, they are 13-7. They've been to the playoffs now. I think it's five straight years.
Right now, but yeah, this will be five.
I mean, they're one of the top three or four teams in the Eastern Conference. The Pacers definitely aren't quite there yet. So I just like it's that the team has to change the Pacers now. I kind of like that because the Pacers play such a different style than a lot of teams, because they've got Turner. It's kind of dynamic and forces other centers to switch around. Even Sabonis did the same thing. So this is interesting. Yeah.
I think it's kind of poetic that the Jonas is maybe the worst game that I've seen him play, and the one that got him benched came against the Pacers. And, you know, that was a team where his breakout really happened a couple years ago in the playoffs. He was such a, he was just enormous in that series. 19 rebounds in the first game. He had like 23 and 15 in game two. He was outstanding. And then he was really good to start the second round as well. Then got hurt against the Heat and everything kind of went downhill from there. But I think it was kind of poetic that against the Pacers, a team that just 2 years ago he dominated, he couldn't hang. And it kind of just speaks to, I think, you know, as you mentioned, how sort of just his game has fallen out of being, you know, kind of suited to the modern NBA. It's, you know, we talked about this on the podcast this week, and it's kind of, it's, you know, I don't know if you feel bad for the guy or whatever, because like he's well paid and he's still an NBA player who's starting and whatever, but it is kind of a shame to see a guy just have the league kind of pass him by. And I guess it's got to be exciting for Pacers fans to have Miles Turner, who is very much the opposite of what Jonas is and seems perfectly suited to the modern NBA at center.
Yeah, you won't get much sympathy from Pacers fans because the same thing happened to Roy Hibbert. You know, there was one point in like the 2012-13 range where people thought the Roy Hibbert, Paul George was going to be like, they were going to win championships forever because they were going to be like, Roy could protect the rim and he could score 30 a game, whatever. And he fell out of the league. So you're not getting much sympathy about that. I do remember that playoff
Raptors
series.
Raptors draft pick Roy Hibbert to you.
Well, I do remember though in that playoff series, Valanciunas killed Jan Mahimi. Both those guys now are probably weirdly like don't fit this anymore. That playoff series. I don't want to rehash it. Tell me, that was just a weird series because it was the Paul George kind of just taking over, and then it was the Raptors had like the second, third, fourth, and fifth best player in that series. So it's an odd year.
Yeah, and the fact that Frank Vogel decided to play the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th best players in that series to start the fourth quarter of Game 5.
Don't get me started. That was rough. That game was
the most frustrating thing I've ever watched. What's that?
That was the most frustrating thing I've ever watched, that Game 5.
Oh, that's the most exhilarating thing I've ever watched. It was unbelievable. The closest I've ever come to like cheering in the press box, I think, was when Norm Powell threw that dunk down. It was pretty nuts and like kind of changed a lot of things for the Raptors franchise, I think, because if they lose that series, I don't think Dwayne Casey's back. I think DeMar DeRozan's probably gone. I think they probably trade Kyle Lowry. So
Now you're stuck with all three for three or four more years probably at least.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I like, you know, I've had this conversation a million times on the show too. Like, oh, is it enough to be good and not amazing? Yeah, it's enough for me. I'm very okay with very good basketball to watch each year. And whenever it ends, it ends. But, you know, the Raptors, I think this season have kind of livened things up a little bit with having so many young guys having big roles this season. And you have, you know, OG Anunoby will have a great game here and there. And, you know, Pascal Siakam has been awesome off the bench. And Fred VanVleet even now is playing really good backup point guard with DeLon Wright out. So it's kind of adding some intrigue to the season that maybe wasn't there last season when it was all veterans on the team. So I'm cool with it. This is a fun team and a fun window, and I'm excited for this game on Friday and for how it's all going to play out. Is this like a potential playoff matchup, do you think, again this season?
I think it just depends on the seeding, right? Probably you're going to say Celtics and Cavs are 1-2, just the way Cavs are playing right now. They're probably the 1 and 2 seed. So it depends where the Raptors, the Pacers fall. I think the Pacers are probably anywhere from 6 to 8, and Raptors are probably anywhere from 3 to 5, right? Is that fair to say?
Sorry, you cut it out there. Did you say 3 to 5?
The Raptors are probably somewhere between the 3 to 5 seed, and the Pacers are probably somewhere from the 6 to 8 seed, right? Yeah. So maybe a 3-6 matchup?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Although, I don't know. I'm still Pacers, and how real all of this is, and how, like, are they just gonna keep shooting threes at this ridiculous rate all season long? Like, I don't know. I hope so, because they're really fun to watch. They're far more fun than I thought they were going to be coming into the season. And I root for Corey Joseph, and you know, and I like Oladipo, and I like that they're having a good season. But I'm very apprehensive as to whether or not this is sustainable, at least offensively. Do you have the same sort of – are you similarly concerned about it being something that might fall off?
Yeah, I'm – optimistic for two reasons. One, Turner hasn't played his best yet. So I think if, let's say, Oladipo falls back to somewhat reality, since he's been playing at like, assume like another world, Turner maybe can make up the slack. And then two is they've had such a kind of tough schedule to start the season. They played a lot of good teams, put a ton of back-to-backs, which seems odd on all the back-to-backs they continue to shoot so well from three. Like that doesn't seem to work, makes sense statistically, but they just seem to do well. So I'm hoping that as the schedule lightens up, they play some of the bottom of the East teams more, that they'll be able to rack those wins up. And like that's why I think they're more like a 7 or 8 seed. Like I think right now they're 5th or 6th in the East, which they're not going to – that's not sustainable. But I think a reasonable to say they win 41 games and get the 8 seed is not unrealistic at least.
Yeah, fair enough. And I hope they're in because they're again, like I said, just a lot more fun than I thought they were going to be. And their jerseys are really good. I'm digging the new jerseys. I think they're a big step up. So I'm cool watching those on the court. Do you have any parting shots or anything like that? Or you want to wrap this thing up?
I got – so one question for you on the Raptors.
Yeah.
You hit it earlier for a second. You're right, the Raptors are probably that team where if you think about it, I know the Celtics have been pretty good this year, but they don't have any playoff experience really. The Raptors are that team where if LeBron leaves the East, they actually have a legitimate shot to maybe win the Eastern Conference, right? If LeBron goes to LA next year, that's kind of why they probably ran it back this year.
Oh, I think that was absolutely part of their calculus in that looking at it and saying, hey, like if LeBron leaves, or even if he just like declines in year 16 because, you know, humans should decline by that time in their careers. Not going to happen. But, yeah, if he does leave, I think that's, you know, I feel like the Raptors would have really sort of regretted it if they'd blown it up this offseason and then LeBron leaves and they're just sitting there like, wow, like we could have been in that position. And, you know, I think it would have been a real sort of lost opportunity. That's why I'm okay with them just like staying good because you never know when something weird's going to happen when a guy leaves or an injury happens and like just being in the position to, you know, capitalize on some weirdness, I think is kind of a good thing. Yeah, I'm not picking the Raptors to make the finals or anything. I do think I like their chances of making it back to a conference finals, depending on how the seeding works out, of course. But if they can avoid a matchup with, say, Boston or something like that, or avoid a matchup with Cleveland, I think Boston, it's a reasonable, you know, it's probably like a pick 'em series to me at this point. I think Boston's kind of overachieving a little bit. The Raptors have the best Eastern Conference point differential right now. And I think they're playing, you know, at a pretty high level. And I think by the end of the season with all these young guys, as they continue to grow, I think they'll even be at a higher level. So, I'm pretty confident in what the Raptors can do. I'm pretty bullish on their potential and their upside this season. Whether that is, you know, a finals thing, I'm not going to call that because the Cavs are, you know, doing Cavs things now, winning all the games. But and LeBron is LeBron. But I think that's exactly why they wanted to stay good, was to be able to be in the position to capitalize if something weird happens or if LeBron leaves or something like that.
You stole my differential stat. That's what I was going to bring up at the end of the podcast. The Raptors are – they're not – you know, they have a better point differential than the Celtics. Raptors are a really good team. You know, right now they're 4th in the East, but I think they're definitely going to be the 2 or 3 seed. See, I just feel like the Celtics will have a correction at some point. They have so many young guys playing at, like, a higher level than you expect, like Tatum and Brown, who I don't know how sustainable that is all season long. The Raptors, you know you're going to get – you know, they're probably going to be close to 50 wins. They've been that way for 3 or 4 years. They should be. They're going to be one of the top three seeds.
Yeah, the thing with the Raptors, too, is they've had one of the toughest schedules in the league to start the year. They had a crazy 6-game Western trip where they played, like, the Spurs and the Warriors and the Nuggets and the Jazz and the Blazers. Like, it was a nuts trip. They went 3-3. And I think so far they've had the 4th hardest schedule in the NBA. But you know, for the rest of the season, they have the least amount of travel, and I believe the easiest schedule by a winning percentage of opponents for the rest of the year. And December is just a cakewalk for them. The Pacers are probably the toughest opponent they have for like 3 weeks. They go on a Western road trip where they play the Suns at home, and they go on a Western trip where they play the Grizzlies, the Kings, the Clippers, and the Suns, and then the Nets, and then the Kings again, and then the Hornets. Like, it's not a tough slate of games here. So I think they can probably kind of rack some wins up here and maybe get closer up to that 1 seed. I think they want the 1 seed. I kind of think they're looking at the East maybe right now and saying, like, hey, if we get the 1 seed, like, who knows what can happen? We can avoid having to play both of Boston and Cleveland, hopefully, and maybe just get one of them in a conference finals. I think there's a real sort of incentive to go for it. So they rattle off, like, I don't know, 12 or 13 wins in a month because the schedule is really easy and they're kind of finding themselves right now.
Yeah, and that Phoenix LA trip now, all of a sudden for most teams now become just easy. I mean, there's 3 of the worst teams in the league, the Clippers, yeah. Lakers, and Suns combined. You got any parting shots? Yeah. I think I've hit mine.
No. I think I'm excited to see Corey Joseph. I hope he gets some buckets because he didn't get any against the Raptors last week. And he's a local hero here. I hope he plays well. I wish he was starting for the Pacers, to be honest, because I'd like him better than Darren Collison. I know Collison's more dynamic or whatever, but Corey Joseph's a lovely dude, and he should be treated as such. And I'm excited to watch him play tomorrow.
Yeah, Corey Joseph might be the best Pacer acquisition when it comes to like Frazier. You know, they signed Collison by Donovich, but Joseph has been awesome off the bench. So this has been today's version. It's been a Locked On Raptors and Locked On Pacers crossover podcast. Thanks for joining me, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I'm sure they play again, right? We'll do a third one.
What's that, sorry?
I'm sure the Raptors and Pacers play again at some point for a third time this season. We'll have to do a third one.
Sorry, you cut out a little bit. I'm not hearing you. I'm not sure when they play again. I think it's later in the year.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Well, that's been today's crossover pod between the Raptors and Pacers. Have a great rest of your day.